Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time for a college football darty with the Chief. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And here's Eric.
Yes, sir. SEC Media Days, plenty to get to from a college football standpoint right after this.
Looky here. Mr. Cold Turkey put a mini booze bottle in his headset.
I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Special teams, fucking joke.
I want them never to say our name again!
Well, I don't get that. Rain the head cold.
Don't get me started, love. I've had too much stress.
Okay, we start with some good news. Missouri running back, all-SEC running back, Ahmad Hardy, has fully healed after being shot in the leg back in May.
Okay.
And is progressing to return to the field.
Must not have hit any ligaments or bones.
Yeah, they haven't been super specific on exactly how much it got him, but it was, you know, enough to keep him down throughout the offseason, but now he's on track to at least be ready early in the season. I don't know if it'll be a week one situation for him, but certainly one of the best running backs in all of college football. It was a weird deal being at a concert over the summer, and he did get shot in the leg. They did say that the bullet struck one of his bones, so it was enough. It wasn't just necessarily a flesh wound. It was a little bit more than that, but
solid bone structure, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, he's well-built, heck of a player, and would love to see him have a fantastic season. Again, he was all-SEC last year's outstanding. SEC Media Days, we learned a couple of things. Some new SEC-specific rules, including offensive pass interference, no longer going to be a 15-yard penalty. They felt like that was too punitive for an offensive pass interference. Drop you back 15 yards, it basically kills your drive.
Drive killer.
So they're making it a little bit less punitive and making it a 10-yard penalty for offenses. They were looking for a higher rate of success gaining a first down after incurring an offensive pass interference. So I'm okay with that. 10-yard penalty is still pretty large. 15 yards is, I mean, I can't imagine what the rate is of offenses gaining a first down after suffering a 15-yard penalty. But it's not one. Maybe they'll call it a little bit more now because of that. Because I do think there is a lot of the, you know, the pick routes and things like that, the rub routes that go awry for defenses, and they're looking around going, "Dude, are you kidding me? That should have been called." So maybe they call it a little bit more because of this. But instead of 15 yards offensive pass interference, it'll be a 10-yard penalty in the SEC. And then the other one that we've all been clamoring for, I'm glad they're doing this: the targeting rule and the suspensions that follow. Generally, you're talking about you get a targeting penalty and then you're done for that game, and then you miss the first half of the next game. And the SEC is saying, not going to do that if you're a first-time offender. The first time somebody gets hit with a targeting penalty, they'll be ejected for the remainder of that game. But then there will be no suspension for the next game. And then if you're a second-time offender, you'll be ejected from the game and then suspended for the first half of the next game. If you're a third-time offender, you're ejected from the current game, and then you're suspended for the entire next game. So that's how they're doing it. So the first time one of your favorite players in the SEC gets hit with a targeting penalty, yes, he's going to leave that game, but you'll see him suited up for the first snap of the next game.
Seems pretty common sense to me. I think overall I like it.
Yes.
I think the NCAA should copy it, but isn't it weird that the SEC is doing their own rules?
Yes, yes.
If I'm the NCAA, I'm like, okay, I kind of like what you're doing here, but I can't have the visual of you dictating to us what the rules of the country are.
Well, they got 9 conference games now, so they're probably looking
at most of their regular season schedule.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about the SEC, and I was just doing some digging on this, there's a couple of things I think came out of all this. The Power 4 non-conference requirements of the SEC. Every SEC team is strictly required to schedule at least one non-conference opponent from the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, or Notre Dame each season. And they've eliminated the late season cupcake game. You know, where the SEC has banned the practice of scheduling a lower tier, like Alabama playing Wofford or somebody like that. They've banned that. So they're trying to create that second to the last week in November, like more conference games.
I love that.
So, yeah, they're trying to force more high-stakes games late in the year instead of, you know, LSU or whoever are playing, you know, this another opponent. We've had way too many of those games in November where we go through a conference schedule, then all of a sudden it's like, all right, now Stetson's on the schedule against Oklahoma or Florida or somebody like that.
Yeah, you hate that when you're in the thick of the college football season.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And then all of a sudden you just have a couple of dud games on a Saturday.
Yeah, because, and especially late in November.
Yeah, that's a September tune-up situation. Yeah. Don't need to see that. Yeah.
But the fact that the SEC says, okay, we're going to play nine conference games, and we're going to make you play somebody from the Power Four, and then we're also you can't play Stetson. I'm sorry, Stetson. I'm just using you because you get scheduled in these games. But that's what happened. The fact that they're trying to create matchups every single week that really do matter, I think they should be applauded for. I think more conferences should look into that.
Okay, so we have coaches at the microphone. We will start with the new head coach in Kentucky. Oregon's offensive coordinator, now the head coach at Kentucky. He's Will Stein. Tell me if there's anyone in the world more confident in themselves than this guy.
Why do you think you can win big here? This is going to sound like really, I think because of me, to be honest. I think because of me.
Yeah. He went on to explain himself a little bit more, but that's really the gist of it. He is, he's got some Kurt Cignetti type confidence.
Say,
Google me.
Yeah.
You know? And that worked out for Kurt.
It did.
Okay, so he's taking a page out of his book. Of course, you got to be confident if you're going to be running a program, especially one in the SEC in Kentucky that is usually a bottom feeder when it comes to the footballs. So we'll see if that comes back to bite him a little bit, but he's feeling really dang good about himself. Now you have Kirby Smart. Looks like Kirby has himself some bulletin board material.
Wanted to ask about the wide receiver room in particular. One of the bigger question marks, at least that I have, how would you assess the wide receiver room heading into fall camp?
I'm just very thankful for people like you, Steve, that keep questioning them, because the more you question them, the more it helps me motivate them. So everybody says that we don't listen to you guys. Well, the wide receivers are listening, so they'll have a new challenge issued based on your question.
Heck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's Kirby for you. That's what you want right there. I love the stones of that reporter being like, hey, I got to be honest with you. I'm side-eyeing a position group that you got there, Mr. Recruiter Man, Mr. Five-Star Guy, Mr. Championship Expectations, and then he just turned it right around on him. Kirby Smart's one of the best in the business.
Could the guy have asked the question in a better way, which would have allowed to get an answer from that, instead of like coming out, it was like it's a – I'm the one evaluating your room.
Yeah, I think your receiver room. So,
wedging your own opinion into a question.
Yeah, exactly.
Things can go sideways.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think there's a way that he could have asked the question and said, you know, asking about the receiver room, but not made it in a way like he was the sole evaluator of this thing.
Now, Lucius, I believe we might have a new contestant to be your favorite player in all of college football. Where yesterday it was revealed that OU's quarterback John Mateer is now driving a lowrider.
Let's go. Oh my gosh. Shout out to that fam.
No photos, not sure exactly what it is.
I don't want to see it, bro.
A lowrider.
That is pretty dang sick there from John Mateer. Expectations are high, and we'll see how OU can fare here. But they're playing, you know, they're feeling pretty confident. Mike Elko is pretty dang confident in his guys when it comes to the Aggies. He's saying that when it comes to the back end of his defense, when it comes to the Aggie secondary, he's saying this is the best that they've had, the best secondary I've had in 7 years at Texas A&M.
Wow.
So
they've had some good secondary players.
Yeah. Yeah. They had a lot of turnover on
They might, though.
On I mean, offense.
That's the Elko special right there. I mean, certainly he's had some good recruits. They probably hit the transfer portal. But they just had a couple of good secondary players in this past draft. This song, I always think George Lopez, the intro to the George Lopez show.
Just not as familiar with that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the group
I'm surprised.
War.
Oh, I love the song.
Yeah.
I did not know. This was the intro song?
Yeah.
Nice. Maybe George. Now, we have The Athletic giving you the anonymous quarterback list according to coaches from around the country.
Okay.
And funny enough, in college football, we have general managers now. So this is coaches and general managers and personnel directors, scouts, front office staffers across the country, and they represent every single conference, and they have ranked the best quarterbacks in college football. Who do you guys think? Now, this has nothing to do with what they might do in the NFL.
Okay.
Right? So this is strictly in college. Do you guys think you could name me who they believe is the best quarterback in the country?
Dante Moore?
Dante Moore at Oregon.
You probably got Oregon, yeah.
Comes in at number two.
Oh, okay. Is it Arch Manning?
Arch Manning.
It's not one. He's not.
No.
Comes in at number seven.
Okay. That's fair.
He's actually behind our guy Drew Mestemaker.
Well, Drew Mestemaker is going to be a freaking star.
They have Mestemaker.
They got a good eye there.
Sixth in the country.
Wow.
Okay. Who is the number one quarterback in the country? Again, it doesn't have anything to do. Saiyan, Julian Saiyan from Ohio State comes in at number five.
Is it their guy from Ole Miss?
There we go.
Oh, Trinidad Chambliss.
Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah, I kind of forgot he was back.
Yeah, he is back. He's back with a vengeance. Ole Miss is going to be fantastic. And Trinidad Chambliss, if he can be even better than what he was last year, I mean, my gosh, they have him as the best college quarterback in the country right now. It's Chambliss, then it's Dante Moore. Mm-hmm. Then, you guys aren't going to like this one, Notre Dame's C.J. Carr.
Look, I couldn't show
Carr. There's no way.
I just don't see it.
Oh, you guys might have you eating crow at some point. Everybody's loving C.J. Carr.
They're going to be eating crow.
Then it's Darian Mentz at Miami, Julian Saiyan at five with Ohio State.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.